Take your Bibles, if you will, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we continue our study on living beyond your capacity, living beyond your ability within your own strength. And we're talking about the Spirit-controlled or the Spirit-filled life. A very important subject for the believer to understand and then to follow the teaching of it. If we have visitors with us today, we're glad you're here. And we do have other classes. This is the senior citizens class. We do have other classes in case no one told you, but we take anyone in here that'll come, all right? They're all welcome. It doesn't matter if they're teenagers or whatever, but we're glad you're here, but we're glad to have some of you folks visiting with us. If you did not get a pupil book and you need one, Brother Larry, we have some of those left, okay? If you'll raise your hand. Most of you got them, I think. Here's one right over here. Anyone else would like to have one of the student manuals? Just raise your hand back up here. Who has the other books? I thought someone else had them right up front here. There we go. Anyone else? All right. And we're on lesson 6 in your book. A lot of you forgot your book this morning, didn't you? That's so easy to do, but I encourage you to bring it and fill these out and then study them later on. They make a good devotional study, something you can use later in that. Today we want to look at the separating ministry of the Holy Spirit, His separating ministry. And we'll just hold your place in Ephesians 5, and we'll be looking at some of those verses as we go along, as we think about the Spirit-filled life. Now, nobody, I guess, most of us don't like to get lost. How many of you have ever been lost in traffic in a city somewhere and you didn't know exactly where you were? Most of us can relate to that. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians that really have no exact sense of direction in their life as to what they should be doing and where they should be going, direction. But the Holy Spirit, believe me, wants to guide us. He lives in you. Remember, if you're saved, He lives in you. He wants to guide you and He wants to guide me. And we need guidance, don't we? And we can have guidance. And when we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can also at the very same time have confidence as we follow the Holy Spirit. So we need Him to guide us. We can have that guidance. It is there for us. Sometimes you get in an area where your GPS will not work. Every once in a while, you'll be in a place where maybe it cannot get to your GPS, and you're wondering what happened to where I was going. And it was on there, and now it's gone, and you're not real sure where you are. And they'll put a little sign up there that guidance or GPS is not available. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And your life sometimes can get very frustrating as a believer when you have no guidance, when you just are frustrated and you're sensing that you don't really know where you should go. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide us, and He does it primarily through the Word of God and also as He works in our spirit. And so we need spiritual discernment. Think of those two words, spiritual discernment. It's important that we have spiritual discernment. And one reason is that we have so many choices to make in life. We have a lot of choices that come up every day, don't we? Every week, every month. There are many, many different choices that come. And so we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide us in those choices. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and do desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." Paul said, we want you to be filled, saturated with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. That's what God wants. That's what Paul wanted. And, of course, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we need discernment. We need discernment about what we buy. We need discernment about the friends we choose. We need discernment about a lot of things as we go along in life. Now, there are three ways that we want to talk about that the Holy Spirit gives us this wisdom, not just intelligence, but wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us. Roman numeral 1 in the outline, the direction of the Lord. We have the direction of the Lord, and He wants to direct us. Before we got saved, we were in darkness. I hope you understand and remember that. Before you came to Christ, you were just sort of wandering in the wilderness of the world. But it's different when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He contrasts for us the before and the after as He talks about that in the verse that we'll look at, or verses. You've seen these ads on television, the before and the after. I think they make the first one look really, really bad. And the afterward, I think they really doctor it up a little bit. But you get the idea of the before and the after, or a makeover. Well, we, when we get saved, have had a makeover. Acts 26:18, He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's what God desires for us. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In Ephesians 5:8, He says, for we were sometimes darkness in the past before we got saved, but now are ye light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light. We have the light. We have the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. And so we're to walk in the light. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we ought to walk as children of light, right? As children of light. And the Holy Spirit is our companion, and He goes with us, and He sheds light on the decisions that we have to make. He spreads that light, and guess when that started? When you got saved, when the Holy Spirit moved in, He began to shed that light. And so we have, A in your outline, the light of His presence. We have the light of His presence. And as I said earlier, the Holy Spirit indwells all believers. You don't pray through after you get saved and later get the Holy Spirit as a second work of grace. That's not the way it works. The problem is He doesn't have all of us, but we have all of Him. We have all of the person living in us. But He provides discernment, discerning what's right, what's wrong, what should we do, what should we not do. 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, that is, the unsaved person. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He can't even know until you get saved. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. We have the Holy Spirit to help us so that we're not foolish. Before salvation, we were ignorant and probably uninterested in the things of God. We just had no interest in them. Natural man goes by his conscience and by natural intuition, almost more animalistic, conscience, intuition. And you cannot just let your conscience be your guide. It might deceive you. And the natural intuition certainly is going to deceive you. And that's what we're like before we get saved. But when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit who gives us discernment, and He teaches us and He guides us. But we've got to understand He is there. Then B in your outline, the light of His Word. He is present to lead us in our spirit. And then we have the Word of God, the light of His Word. And so the Bible is always the primary tool that the Holy Spirit uses, and He will never contradict the Word of God. And so we go to the Word of God as the primary tool. And He doesn't want us to stumble around in darkness and do damage to ourselves or the cause of Christ. Some time back, it's been a good while, my wife shifted some furniture in our living room. And I was checking, I heard a noise out front, and I went flying around through the den into the living room, barefooted, and I hit that iron footstool with my middle toe primarily, and I want to tell you, it hurt. I was not mad at her, but I wondered why she didn't tell me she did that. And every once in a while, she'll leave a vacuum cleaner in the middle of the floor, and I go through there at night and almost break my neck. Now, she doesn't do it on purpose, but it's better if you have light. It's better if you know what's out there and where you're going. Amen? It's just better to do it. Some of you guys and some of you ladies, too, relating to that. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. It's a strange thing for somebody to say, I'm a Christian, and then they walk in darkness. But he says, but he shall have the light of life. And so whenever we feel like we're stumbling, we just don't quite have the sense of what we should do, then go to the Word of God. The Word of God gives light, and we just need to turn on the light. By the way, we do have night lights in those rooms now, little ones, but it works a whole lot better. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my path and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is? The word of God, guided and enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So we need to find the light in the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit will help us do this and discern. Now, he's not going to give us a crystal ball to predict everything in our future, but step by step, day by day, as we lean on him, the Holy Spirit wants to guide us through the Word of God and through his presence. And, of course, when we try to do that, the devil tries to step in and does and tries to detour us in our thoughts and in our lives. And he's there to do it. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, especially for the unsaved. He blinds their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you have the contrast there. The unsaved, no light. The saved, light. Light shining in our lives. Satan blinds and binds people because they don't follow the Holy Spirit in the light of the Word of God. But thank God the Holy Spirit comes to liberate us, so that we are not blind and we're not bound by the devil, but we are following the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's a promise that we have from God and from the Lord. So God desires to lead us, but the problem is this, and here's the question, will you follow? Will I follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit shown in his word and as he deals with us in our hearts? A teacher was substituting one time in a Sunday school class, and she was trying to get the attention of a third grade boy. You know, they can be rather rambunctious at that age. And so he was on the back row, and she said, Johnny, after she was talking to him, do you have trouble hearing? And he said, no, I just have trouble listening. And sometimes that's the way we are. We don't have trouble hearing. We just have trouble paying attention to where we listen and do what we're supposed to do. So the Holy Spirit provides direction. We need to hear his voice. We need to listen to him and the Word of God. And then, what do we need to do after that? Apply what he shows us to our lives. Application is so important. So, first we have the direction of God. And then, secondly, Roman numeral 2, the protection of the Lord. You see, ignorance and foolishness bring harm to our lives. If we're ignorant to God's will and all, then and we're foolish, then it's going to bring harm to us. The Holy Spirit loves us, and he wants to protect you. He wants to protect me. He does not want us to be harmed. So how is he going to do that? In your outline A, by the Spirit's prompting. He's going to do it by the Spirit's prompting. He actively works on our hearts. He prompts our minds. And sometimes we say, well, it's my conscience. But if you're saved, more apt than anything, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. And you wonder, well, what is that voice? Who is that? Why am I feeling this way about this situation? It's the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, and He prompts our minds, and He pricks our spirits. And He does it in Ephesians 5:9, tells us, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit, the result of what God wants to produce in us, in three areas: goodness, righteousness, and truth. So He always leads in those three things. He prompts us in goodness, righteousness, and always truth. He never violates His own word. And so the Holy Spirit gives these evidences that we're listening to Him. Now, we have a lot of personal choices. Let's get back to that in just a moment. We have a lot of choices in our life. One of those would be, who do you choose to be your friends? I tell my grandson all the time, you're going to be what your friends are, so pick your friends well. And we need to be careful about who we choose in life as our friends. If you're not careful, you get the wrong friends, they'll lead you away from God. We need to choose what influences we have that would influence our life and our minds and our hearts in any way. And we need to choose about entertainment. Watch out about entertainment. I think that too many Christians have stuff piped into their house that they shouldn't have there. And a lot of parents will say, well, I get this so my kids can enjoy maybe some cartoons, special cartoons. And yet, with all of that, you have all kinds of filth, all kinds of different things that might come in and do that. We need to be careful about our entertainment, where we go, what we listen to, some of the things that we see that are going to impact our minds. We need to be careful and very discerning about what we wear, our attire. Ladies, you need to wear modest attire. And to not do that is a sin before God. You need to understand. And you say, well, I just can't get the styles that I want. They don't. Well, get somebody to sew you a dress. There's somebody out there that'll do it. You say, well, that costs a little extra money. Well, it'd be worth it to be modest and to be in God's will. Don't let it be too low at the top or too high at the bottom or too split in the side. Now, I'm getting picky units here, and some of you are getting uptight. But I'm telling you, we need to let the Holy Spirit guide us in modesty and in these things and be careful about those things. And He wants to do that. Ask if it's good. Ask if it's righteous. Ask if it's true. Those three areas. Is it good? Is it righteous? Is it true? And here's what the flesh does. The flesh seeks to justify itself. The flesh always wants to take the easy road, but the Holy Spirit will give us spiritual discernment to take sometimes the more difficult road. 3 John 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So we need to do good, don't we? We need to follow the Holy Spirit. Be in your outline by the Spirit's proving. By the Spirit's proving. Again, the Holy Spirit leads us. He leads us to good, but our definition of good may be different from the definition that the Holy Spirit wants. It may be absolutely wrong. And so I have discovered that many times where people have attributed to the Holy Spirit and said that through prayer, God led them to do something that was totally contrary to the Word of God. I've shared with you the story of a couple I was counseling one time, and I was warning them, be careful, you're engaged now, you're going to be together a lot, be careful that you don't enter into immorality, that you don't get premaritally involved in sexual relationship. And he stopped me right in the middle of that and said, oh, wait a minute, I got to tell you, we prayed about that, and we've already been involved intimately, and we're already having sex together, and the Holy Spirit led us to do that. We had a little talk after that. that I won't go into details. But, you know, he probably thought he was all right, probably thought he had deceived himself in that. Look, our thinking of what is good may be entirely different from what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that's why we need to go to the Word of God, Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Some things aren't acceptable to Him. That was one of them. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Prove means to examine, scrutinize these things by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And if it's not approved, throw it out. Athens had over 80 different laws to control silver and gold because there were people shaving some of the gold off and shaving some of the silver off, and they were keeping that, and it amounted to a lot of money. But physically, the gold piece or the silver piece looked the same. And so they passed a lot of laws, at least 80 laws I read about it. But many of them refrained, and the bad coins were put out of circulation because they wanted to be honest. And the word for that was doukoimos, and it means approved. That is, these coins had to be approved by them. That was a word they used. And we need to do that in the things of God. We need to take those things that are approved. Exercise discernment. Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Our own reasoning may not be the right approval, but we have to go to the Scripture again and the Holy Spirit. Here's a quote that I'll share with you. Without absolutes revealed by God Himself, we are left rudderless in a sea of conflicting ideas about matters, justice and right and wrong, issuing from a multitude of self-opinionated thinkers. And you always run into these people, well, here's the way I see it. Here's what I think about it. Here's what I think that means. But we've got to know what the Bible means. And the Bible is not ambiguous. It doesn't use terms that we do not understand, that are unclear. The Bible is very clear, and the Holy Spirit leads us to apply these things and leads us with God's standards. The Holy Spirit wants to protect us. And then thirdly, in your outline, the instruction of the Lord. A third way is the instruction of the Lord. And these are sort of kin to each other, but a little bit different in each category. And so we have three different commands that God gives us, really, in some of these verses to help us walk daily with the Lord and to have discernment. And so, A, in your outline, He wants us to have a separated life. A separated life. Paul's second journey, when he went to Ephesus, he discovered there the temple of Diana, or the temple of Artemis, it is called. And that's a picture of that temple. You see it on the screen. And that looks like a real religious and holy place, doesn't it? But it was not. In that temple was gross immorality. They had temple prostitutes. The beautiful women of that area were brought in to do that. And this was one at that time of the seven wonders of the world during that time. They had the occult, immorality, all of those different things. You see, Paul says we don't need to have anything to do with anything like that. We need to be separated. And when we're converted, and these people got converted, guess what they did? They had all kinds of artifacts that were little symbols of that, and of worshiping falsely the false gods, and many of them entered into, before they were saved, that kind of false worship. And they would go to the temple, and the means, so-called, of worship was to have sexual activity. And they had not only female, but even male prostitutes. Now, what did they do after they got saved? Acts 19:19-20. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It was worth a lot of money. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When? after these people who had gotten saved, got rid of all this junk in their lives and all this worldliness in their lives, then the Word of God began to prevail. And so Paul encouraged them to get rid of those things, and he told them, don't straddle the fence. And God doesn't want us to do that. We'll not grow if we keep some kind of sinful impurity or some kind of sinful practice in our lives, and we sort of hang on to it, and we make it a pet sin, and we don't let go of it. We keep it around. No, they got rid of it so that God could bless. And years later, Paul instructed them again, but he went further than just get rid of the artifacts. He said, this is the practice you need. This is the way you need to live. Get rid of all of that junk and live right. Ephesians 5:11 through 14. Here's a clear-cut command and imperative of God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't have any fellowship with them, but reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's simply saying, don't be buddies with the world. Don't be buddies with any darkness. He's delivered us from that. And by God's grace, we ought to live in the light. That's one thing that makes us different as independent fundamental Baptists. And I know some people, I saw a comedian the other day on YouTube, and he was apologizing for the fact that he was had been a fundamentalist in years past, and that now he was freed up, and he had been let out of prison and all those kind of things. And I guess he's saying he figured he could do whatever he wants to do, say whatever he wanted to say. And now he can go to churches that don't believe in security of the believer and that don't believe that you're saved by grace alone and do his thing. But listen, we need to be separated. Come ye out and be separate, saith the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful. And to do so would be in direct disobedience to God. Look at Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unright, unfruitful works of darkness. But what are we supposed to do? Reprove them. He doesn't say come entirely out away from and have nothing to do with them, but reprove them. Tell them this is wrong. And this is why we know it's wrong, because the Bible says it's wrong in this direct disobedience. We're not just talking about isolation, but confront them with the Bible, confront them with the gospel, and reprove them. And don't have a double standard. Again in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, I'll read just part of this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I've said before from this pulpit when I was pastoring that it's better if a saved girl doesn't marry an unsaved guy or a saved guy doesn't marry an unsaved girl. And I had a couple leave the church because I said that. He said, well, my daughter married an unsaved man and later he got saved. Well, let me guarantee you that's the exception. That is not the rule. That's the exception to the rule. This is the principle of God. Don't be unequally yoked in your business or any other way. You're asking for problems. And what concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Why should we link up with him? God says, come out, be separate. So why preserve ties with those who hate God and don't honor God? What happens is worldliness. And so much of that is coming into our churches these days and into our families. Worldliness corrodes and clouds our discernment. And it should not do that. And that's what he's calling unfruitful. So the Holy Spirit says separate from them. The criteria again is what? What is good, what is righteous, what is true. And then be in that a serious walk. And what he's saying is, take our walk with him seriously. Don't take it lightly. Ephesians 5, look at verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so he says, walk circumspectly, circumference. It's what he's talking about. Look around you and see and know what's wrong and don't enter into that. and be aware of all that is around you, and don't let it creep into your home or in your life or into your mind. When you go to a mall nowadays, you sort of get out of the car if you're smart, especially if it's already dark, and you look around to see who's around there, and you're a little more careful than you used to be. That's what God is saying. Look around you and be careful, be aware, and be attentive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, and ask Him for that guidance. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Discern these things, redeem the time right now. George W. Truett, who used to pastor First Baptist in Dallas, said this: to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. To know the will of God, the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. So we need to spend time wisely, ask God, discern, and obey. And then see in your outline a spirit-filled life. God wants us to have that. Ephesians 5:18 in our text: be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's not an option, folks. That is a divine imperative from God. You're supposed to be, and I'm supposed to be, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we grow in that relationship and intimacy, and then we listen to Him and we obey Him. So here's what I say in closing this out. We need to have discernment, not some mystical, supernatural intuition that the world goes by, but spiritual awareness and spiritual discernment. And it's not just for the gifted people of the world. It is for every believer. It is for you. You have the right and the responsibility to spiritually discern the things of God and walk in discernment. And the resources are His presence in us and the Word of God. And He loves us and He wants to protect us. And He does that. So what we need to do is daily seek the Holy Spirit, grow in the Lord, follow Him, because God loves us and He wants us to discern what's right and wrong. That's part of the Spirit-filled life, and it's all there in the Word of God. Father, thank You for the precious Word. Help us to let it guide us as the Holy Spirit enlightens us and casts light on Your truth. And help us to be sensitive and to talk to the Holy Spirit and to pray to You and ask that Your Spirit guide us in all things. And we know that You love us, and we know that He's willing to do that. And we'll be better for it, and You'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.